Check. Hey, it works. Cool. Hey, kind of sounds kind of weird though. I'm not used to it. If I were to tell you that you were doing something evil, and not just evil, but like evil, like fruits of the devil evil, would you stop? Hey, Bryce, will you turn that speaker that way? Hey, William, will you turn that speaker where it's facing straight? Thanks. No, not towards me. So if I told you you're doing something evil, and I could prove that it was evil, would you stop doing it?
Yes.
Even better. Most of the time. Well, thank you for being honest.
I would try.
You know, in the words of Yoda.
Yeah, I know. You are not.
So, anyway. You will do what I tell you to do. Anyway, okay. So, we've been talking about hard sayings of Jesus this semester, and I'm going to throw out a hard saying. I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Then I'm going to go to Romans, where Paul actually makes a reference to this hard saying. And he says, if we don't do it this way, the way Jesus said, Paul says, you've been overcome by evil. Evil. Yeah, if I could do a... And I would, but I can't, so. So, Luke chapter 6, verse 27 says, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, hat, cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those that are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to someone from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Listen, sometimes we'll take that verse and go, well, I lend to my friends and don't expect anything back. But this is not talking about friends, is it? He's specifically talking about your enemies. Lend to your enemies and do not expect to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So really he's saying, what's he saying?
Be nice to the ones that are being
No, not just be nice to the ones that are being mean to you.
Give.
Love and bless. Have you ever gotten a gift where it didn't really impact you at all? You're like, eh, okay, cool. Like getting underwear at Christmas, right? We all get underwear for Christmas. We all open it up, and we're all like, eh, underwear. And about that time, the little voice in your head goes, but it's the thought that counts, and da-da-da-da-da. And so you've got this really, yeah, this really weird gift. Especially if it's from someone that doesn't know you really well, and it's kind of weird underwear, and you're like, okay. But it's a gift, okay? But it's not a gift that necessarily blesses you. Jesus is saying, listen, people who don't know Jesus, people who don't know what it means to be loved, even though they don't deserve it, they know how to give gifts to their friends. But they don't give gifts to their enemies. And what should set us apart as Christians, as people who were once God's enemies, and yet he loved us, and he blessed us with eternal life, even though we were his enemies, he didn't say, you know what, you clean your act up and then maybe I'll give you eternal life. Or you treat me right and you have the right kind of attitude about me and then I'll save you. And so what Jesus is saying, he wraps this whole section up by saying, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now I'm going to jump over to Romans real quick. Paul sums it up like this. He says, do not repay anyone for evil for evil. You ever want to do that? You can either say yes and be honest, or you can say no and lie. Somebody does you wrong, and you begin to think, man, I just can't wait to get them back. Guys are usually thinking, I can't wait to hit that guy. And girls are thinking, I can't wait to tell everybody else something bad and wrong about them. Boys are violent and girls are mean. Let's just get that out there. It's just true. Okay? Boys are like cavemen and girls are like cats. And it's, you know, cavemen and cats. Go figure. But here's the thing. Paul tells the Roman church, he's talking to a bunch of Christians, he's talking to a bunch of people just like you. The people that he's writing the book of Romans to, they're Western thinkers. They think like we do. Their culture and a lot of the things that they did back then, where the Olympics began, a lot of things, a lot of their values about prizing athletes and things like that, a lot of what they did in their life look like our life today. And Paul tells them, don't repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of... No, we want to say God, but he says everybody. You ever thought, well, I don't care what everybody else thinks. He did me wrong, and so this is just what he's getting. Like, I'm going to put on my Facebook that I'm tired of dealing with idiots, and everyone's going to know who I'm talking about. Hey, let me just go ahead and tell you that the only person that looks stupid when you air that kind of stuff on Facebook is you. Can I just be that honest with you? When your status goes across my page and it says, I'm over him, you're really not, and that's why you put it on your Facebook, and then everyone knows that you're not really over him. Or, I wish some people would just be honest with me. Well, we all know who some people is. It's whoever you're fighting with, and everyone knows it now, right? And really, Facebook, social media, has become a way for us to kind of get even with people who have hurt us. But Jesus says, repay your enemies with love. And Paul says that means to treat them the way that everyone else will see that you're treating them right. Today at Chick-fil-A, there were some handicapped people there. It's Autism Week, Autism Awareness Week at Chick-fil-A. And if you go in and say, I'm with the Burkhart Foundation, and Chick-fil-A will make a donation. If you mention the Burkhart Foundation when you're ordering, Mario, before you order. Mario ordered, he's like, can I go back up there and tell him? It's too late now. You can? Okay, so go back up there on your way home and tell them, hey, earlier today. But this girl who she was having trouble walking, she had trouble using one of her hands. She'd come up to the counter to order, and while she was trying to get her little pocketbook of money open, it popped open and all the change fell out all over the floor. And I was sitting there and I thought, that poor girl. I mean, if it was anybody whose change just hit the floor, I would think, that poor person, they just dropped all their money in the lunch line at Chick-fil-A. You know how the lunch line is, right? It's back about the door. People are standing at Carino's waiting to get in Chick-fil-A, you know? And so I thought, well, I'm sitting right here. So I hop down and I start picking up the change and I gather it all up and I hand it to her. And she takes it and she looks at me and says, excuse me, I wanted to pick that money up myself. I wanted to poke her in the eye. Is that honest? Is it okay for me to say that? I don't think I'll burn in hell for that, okay? And then I went through this whole self-talk. It's okay. It's okay because I didn't ask her if she wanted help. She may be really working on being, you know, I don't want people feeling like they have to help me. And I may have stepped on her feelings and been insensitive by thinking I'm just running in and saving her. But I sat back down at my table and I said, well, I'll show her. I'm going to tweet about this. And I started to get on Twitter. Some handicapped chick just chewed me out for helping her. And then God said that, but how is that being kind and being good? And if your intention was to jump up and help her, her response doesn't matter, does it? Listen, when we get to the point of understanding that the only thing that matters in any situation is our behavior, when we get to understand that it does not matter how people respond and how people treat us, we do what's right, and we do it because it's right, and we do what's right because it honors God, then he's able to take what we do, especially towards our enemies, and bless it and turn it into something where people eventually say of you, and that person, they must really love Jesus because I don't know, I couldn't do what they do. And it gives God an opportunity to use you to do magnificently beautiful things. Here in just a second, Paul's going to quote a proverb. But let me read on what it says. If it is possible, catch this, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, Now, have you ever had a fight with someone and you want to make up and they don't? You're like, what do I do? We're just going to, you know, they don't want to make up, so whatever. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Even rabid liberal Democrats. Live at peace with everyone. You can say no. But I'm telling you. He says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. Catch this. And then he quotes Proverbs. He quotes Proverbs 25. And he says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. The greatest thing you can do to someone, especially an enemy, is to pour out love, compassion, and mercy on them. This is so contrary to our nature and so contrary to our culture that the church doesn't look anything different. It doesn't look different in any way from the rest of the world when it comes to revenge, infighting, grudges, jealousy, envy. We think it's okay. They hurt me. They deserve what I'm doing. Well, the Bible says you hurt Jesus and he loved you anyway. And he gave you life. And listen, this is what it says in verse 21. Paul wraps this whole thing up by saying, do not be overcome by evil. You catch that? Either you can love your enemies or you can become overcome by evil. But overcome evil with good. We live in a culture where every good story ends with the good guys winning. Right? We watch certain movies and we know that person could never die. They're the hero. And we know that in the end of the movie, the hero always wins. Good always wins. But students, I want you to understand that you have a choice tonight as to whether good always wins. You have a choice to turn the other cheek, to go the extra mile. You know, that's where those sayings come from, is that passage in Luke, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, give more. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who's, he came into Chick-fil-A today, and it's cool because there are people who they know that I'm there all day on Wednesday, and so they wander through it about the exact same time on Wednesday, and we have conversations. And today, he said, my girlfriend and I broke up because she's a Christian, but she doesn't understand that the mark of a Christian is they give more than they take. And what's funny is, for a good portion of this guy's relationship with me, I didn't think he was a Christian. And it turns out he is. And as I've gotten to know him over the years, I've found out that he's really a great, really contemplative Christian, really thinks a lot about faith things, and I just didn't know him well enough. But he summed up what Jesus is saying is, the mark of a Christian is they give more than they take. Especially in the area of love, mercy, compassion, kindness. And when we allow other people, when we say we're allowing other people to determine how we behave towards them, well, it's not my fault. They started it. Well, then it's your opportunity to finish it with love and compassion and to make sure that good wins and not evil. So I want to wrap it up with this. I asked you the question at the beginning, if I were to show you you're doing something evil, would you change it? Would you go back and make it right? And most of you said, well, I'd at least try. So I'm going to ask you to do something really hard tonight. Just share with your life group someone that you've been at odds with, someone you've been fighting with, someone you've treated poorly. I don't want you to go into details, because sometimes in sharing those details, it's just another way that we talk ugly about someone and spread rumors about them. But I want you to share the first name of someone that you've been ugly towards. And you understand when I say ugly, I don't mean like I look. I mean you've been mean to them, right? I know I'm not ugly, I'm funny looking, but it's the same thing. In your group, I want you to share the name of someone that you have not been nice to, someone that deserves compassion, mercy, and goodness, but because of the way they treated you, you've treated them in kind with evil and meanness. And then I'm going to ask you to do this. Within the next 48 hours, find that person and make it right. Yeah, I know. You know what that means, admitting? That you're wrong. But they wronged me, yes. But as far as it's up to you, you're to live at peace with all men. You're to make sure that you conduct yourself in a way that everyone who sees it says they're doing the right thing. What? That person doesn't have to make it right, Brennan. If they say, well, I don't care, I hate you, you're a pig. You say, I'm really sorry you feel that way, and I just want to ask you to forgive me, and I'm sorry. The way I've treated you is wrong. And they say, I still don't care, I still hate you, you're a pig. Again, I'm sorry. And if I can make this right, you let me know how. And so they punch you in the face. And you decide you're going to punch them back. Listen, this is exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said, if they strike you in the cheek, turn the other one to them. Right? This is tough. This is one of the toughest sayings of Jesus. I think this is even tougher than leaving everything behind to have eternal life, because it requires a great degree of humility and a great degree of saying, I will trust that if I do things God's way, that is the best way. And even though it doesn't always feel good and it doesn't always feel like it's for my benefit, in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, to make you successful, not to bring you to harm. Listen, when you do things God's way, it always works out better. So what I'm asking you to do is in the next 15 minutes to make a commitment to God and to your peers in your life group that you are going to go find that person that you've been at odds with. You can ask your group to pray for you as they do that. And you're going to, in the next 40 hours, make it right. And you're going to let your group know, somebody needs to call me and ask me by Friday if I've done this. It's an amazing thing. But I'm telling you, to not do it is to be overcome by evil. Let's pray and we'll go. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That even though we don't deserve it, and that the amount of sin in our lives, even if we were saved as children, was enough to deserve death and hell, and you as a righteous God had every right to turn your back on us, to abandon us, and to hand us over to the devil. And yet, while we were still your enemies, you allowed your perfect Son to be tortured and killed on our behalf of people who don't deserve it and could never earn it. So, Father, first, we're grateful. Now, Father, I ask that you would move in our hearts and in our lives, that we would be willing to express that same kind of forgiveness, the same kind of mercy, that same kind of love to people who in no way have wronged us as greatly as we've wronged you. Give us strength and a determination to do what's right, even when it's hard. We pray in your name. Amen. All right, middle school.